Hey everybody, let's do another one of these.
We're lost in the town, wiping fog out of our eyes, a Wednesday morning coming down.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Such a night I never see.
Well, here's what we're going to do today. As promised, today is our first part of our five-part, five-year snowniversary. Like how we just were like, yeah, we're going to just put snow in there even if it doesn't fit. So here's what we're doing for our first part. I was like, what's a good way to kind of go through the past? What's a good way to archaeologicalize the past and find out what we've been up to these five unto years? So here's what I decided to do. There are 266 episodes of this show, and I have a random integer generator between certain, a value between 1 and 266. And I hit the button and it's going to generate, let's just do 50 because we won't get to that many probably. 50 random integers. No, we're going to do one at a time. One random integer between 1 and 266. We'll get the number. Then we're going to listen to just a portion of that show. I'm just going to click on the timeline and we're just going to see what's going on. So you'll get to see how this show has gone down in quality over time, how I've gotten lazier, and just how the world's generally gotten worse. So I think this is going to be really fun. So without further ado, get numbers. 185. So now we will switch over to my site of web. Type in 185. Hope that there's 185. Okay, so this is May 16th, 2014, Helpful Snowman episode 185. So I'm going to push play. We're just going to click here. See if that'll take us to a 32 minutes and 3 seconds. Let's see what's happening.
Okay. Is that we're about horrible wives.
Okay.
Or, you know, like me and Alex, mom stuff.
God,
like
why
my
would
kids think I'm an ATM.
Yeah. Oh, those are great. Bank of Mom.
Mom's taxi. Some of my favorites were ones that just seemed mean or just nonsensical.
Okay.
Like one was like, a woman's real place is in the mall. And I was like,
so
does
not
a woman
topical?
Have this or a man? I don't understand. And who goes to the mall anymore? Like, none of it made sense.
Right, right.
And then
my buggy was actually pulled by my wife.
Yeah, you're just like, what? is this pro wife?
Right, right.
Anti?
That
I
is
didn't
very
even know.
Confusing. That's great.
And there are also a lot of, for some reason, I guess a lot of bumper sticker industry is
okay.
Anti-Obama bumper stickers.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw one.
You mean Obama?
So there we go. That's what we were doing in May of 2014. Talking about bumper stickers that we saw. I haven't seen any great bumper stickers lately. Is the bumper sticker passe? Are we done with that? It seems like politics are almost the only bumper sticker anymore. I don't see a whole lot of keep honking, I'm reloading. Also allowed is, it seems like if you fought in a war, or you're a veteran, I should say, it's just like, make sure you have a bumper sticker so I know you are a veteran. Because that's really important for me to know when I'm behind you on the highway. I saw a great, there was a car parked at the vape store with someone intensely vaping. It was in the handicap spot and had baby on board. And I was like, okay, that doesn't seem like a good thing to be happening right now. All right, what do we have next? Helpful Snowman, episode 98. Let's see, where we become an elephant and fight for politics. So let's just click, and we're going to play. Let's just go 1051.
Burn in hell. Soldiers, gays, burn in hell and stuff.
That was a good timing. Soldiers, gays, burn in hell. That's a nice summary of where we are so far.
They can't fucking vote. Okay, let's move up to the generation that's about 18 to 25. This is only going to prove to them that you don't know what you're doing with technology. Because you've made a complete crappy game that's got arbitrary score and no real point.
Okay, this is when you...
So how
this
is that
was some
gonna
kind
work?
Of
how is that gonna
computer game that I was playing where you're an elephant... And I guess I named my character Officer Jack Offerson. It was a horrible... I remember it was a computer game. I think it was for the Republican Party, and it just sucked. That was basically all I remember of it. But that's really all there was to it. I don't know if there was a lot to... You know, when someone starts out with a video game, let's talk about the difference between a good I made a video game story that led to a good game, right? Oh, you've got a Japanese guy who's like, I remember... when I was a kid exploring the woods and caves near my home and just the sense of discovery and finding things that as a kid were like hidden treasures and all that kind of stuff. Or you've got someone who's like, I want people to like Republicans better. I think a video game is the best way to accomplish that. I think a video game would be the way to really make people feel something. Turning down this other thing. I don't know if that's fucking things up or if that made it sound better, but maybe it will. Dumb idea. Dumb, dumb, dumb idea. All right. Let's travel to episode 158 and see what we find there. This is November 8th, 2013. Oh, it's called Brotherly Love. So I'm guessing we'll have a brother on here. By which I mean a black guy. Let's just start, you know, right near the beginning, if we can. This one seems reluctant to play.
Here's what I'm thinking. I think that what I should do is start up here, and then you should call in, like, in 3 minutes. It'll be like having a caller on a radio show.
Oh, okay.
What do you think? Oh, on the phone. Does that seem like a perfectly horrible and cheesy thing to do that's in line with this whole show?
Yeah, that seems about right.
All right, so you want to call me back in like 3 minutes?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, see you in a bit.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, so apparently what I did there is do this thing where I'm like, oh, here's what we should do. You'll call into the show, and then we'll pretend that that just happened, and it's like a real show that way. Except because I'm smart at podcast, I was like, I'll just record the whole thing. And because of my staunch refusal to cut, it's like, I'll record the conversation where I say, hang up and call back, because then it'll seem professional. So that made it seem extra professional, because I managed to do that. What a smart man you all listen to. What are you guys thinking listening to this? All right, let's try 117, our next number. The Rattling of Dead Teeth, 117 Wisdom. So this must have been shortly after my wisdom teeth were removed from my body. Let's see what we've got here.
Life's not like
Oh, we've got the old theme song.
And you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you.
Wow, double song. I did two songs. Layered. The Earthworm Jim theme song and the theme song made by Ian. Together at last, as they were always meant to be. Okay, we need to skip ahead here. Do, 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 do.
This is reluctant. This machine is reluctant to let me do that.
Melody host who cannot be beat.
See how much better that was?
I heard All Star starting there. Did you guys hear that?
Some teeth out.
Oh, here we go.
I thought I had them here. But I had some people here last night and made them touch my teeth because I was drunk. You know, so I said, touch my teeth. Touch my old teeth. I got to say,
sounds like my life was going really well. I can't find my wisdom teeth because I had them out and had some people over and made them touch my teeth because I was drunk. What a guy. What a guy I was in May 1st, 2013. I guess it was 3 years ago, so I've changed.
Octopus tendrils coming out of the bottoms of these teeth. I don't understand why the part that's not exposed to the world is yellow and the other part is white, you know? You know, it'd be really nice if we just woke up tomorrow and everyone decided the bad teeth were real hot. I would be fine with that. That would be a really, really nice thing to have happen, I think. If you Google, by the way, for some reason, I just decided to Google ugliest people. I thought maybe to compare, to say, like, what are people finding ugly these days?
And What are people finding ugly these days? You know, in our modern sensibility, what's ugly? That's what I really want to know. Who cares about what was once ugly? I want to know about what's contemporarily ugly. Contemporarily ugly. All right. Ooh, episode 11. Wow. This is going to be taking us back. So this all began in the year 2011, something like that. There's a lot of... Oh, shit. I'm going to have to get more specific because this is going to go way the hell back. Okay. Radio episode 11. Let's try that. I can't really search my own website, unfortunately. This brings up a lot of episodes. Here we go. Drunken Dads, Gold Teeth, and a Wonderful Game Where Players Decide... Shit or Sight. I don't even remember what this game was, but maybe we'll find it if we just skip a little ways in. 11 people hit a Facebook like button on this somehow, when I guess that was a thing that you could do.
All right. I can't believe blog. Doesn't that sound horrible?
Yeah, we should have come up
from
with
my
better
site,
name.
From my website.
Oh, okay.
That sounds better.
Some of these were copied from my website, helplessnowman.com.
Mm-hmm.
Others were copied from... Either
I'm hearing my
famous author
drilled into my face retainer voice, and Ian's voice, and the voice of an ex-girlfriend.
I'm going to read a passage, and you guys are going to have to identify. Is this a well-known author, piece of literature, or helpfulsnowman.com?
Oh, what a great game.
So here's how I think we're going to go through this. I'll go through. You each have a piece of paper in front of you, numbered 1 to 12.
All right.
Okay.
And you can play along at home, too.
Yeah, get out a piece of paper, number 1 to 12.
Hurry up.
Be real fucking bored. And then you can play at home. So I'm going to read out loud. I'll read the first passage out loud.
Okay.
And then you'll either put book or blog.
Okay.
All right.
No, fuck, because we don't want to call it a blog.
Book or site.
There we go.
But that's not two B's.
Let's see.
I think I know what we ended up coming
shit
up with.
Shit or sight. Shit is books. Books are shit.
That's not nice.
I know. Well, maybe you should wait till you hear the passages.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
So shit is books.
Oh, and also...
Wait, are these all fiction or nonfiction, like the books?
There's so many
you
rules.
You could say stories or sight.
Nah, I don't know.
All right.
That took him 1 second.
Fuck you.
I just kind of went
Fuck
for
you
it.
Both.
All right, read your names.
Matt.
So Heather's going to be playing for
Matt. They were
Matt.
Playing for
Yay!
Listeners.
I have Chris with a K.
I try to tell the children to use the fire to fight off the bees, but they never listen. God, they never listen. And as I put on my bee suit to remove their bloated, swollen corpses, I think, why? Why won't they listen? If they just sacrificed one of their own, burnt his fresh corpse, and used the fire and smoke to fight off the bees, they could win. One day. One day.
All right.
Very epic.
I agree. Number 3?
Okay.
I hope to hell that when I do die, somebody has the sense to just dump me in the river or something. Anything except sticking me in a goddamn cemetery.
People coming and putting a bunch of flowers on your stomach on
that
Sunday.
That sounds like
and all
Catcher in the Rye or
Who
something.
Wants flowers when you're dead?
This is not something Nobody. I wrote.
Amen.
Yeah.
This is not something I...
Number four?
I can tell you that's not sure. me.
And you, Andrew, are a complete fucking asshole. How's that for modern, you piece of shit? Enjoy your dumb fucking mustache.
And that sounds like me.
This is kind of fun.
Are you enjoying it?
I am, yeah.
Is it difficult
or
is it easy?
Some of, I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Number five.
Okay.
It is a gruesome Disneyland. Nobody is cute there.
Boom.
Yeah. That doesn't sound like me either.
Number six.
Was this a trick? Did
Still,
I do all
he
me?
He deserved to die. He called me an asshole.
That sounds like me more.
Wait.
Seven. Nah. You need a minute here?
Yeah, we'll have got the theme music return.
My music went away.
Yeah, we have different music for that one.
Oh, my game show
don't
music.
Play stuff like this on, you know, Jeopardy when you're thinking.
You're going
to be like, okay, enter Final Jeopardy. Who was some stupid fuck who lived in Egypt? You have 10 seconds.
you're gonna read them again, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's skip one.
All right, I don't have time for this shit. I'll just probably tell you. Probably the good ones were shit and the bad ones were sight. That would be my guess. I don't really remember. Isn't it amazing, though, how much I used to care about this show? Like, how much effort I used to put into it and stuff like that, not just doing it at midnight on a Thursday. Helpful Snowman 205, November of 2014, in which politics are broached. I assume this is when I made a brooch of Barack Obama's face.
Doesn't tell you anything. This doesn't tell you anything. What else do we have? Don't let our education dollars go to Denver. And it's got a shitty Photoshop picture of a school bus full of dollars. And
this is when I was reading political ads. Now I remember. This is when I was just going through the politics ads and being like, these things don't tell us any good information. Can you believe this? Who would vote based on this stuff? Now, I don't even know. I don't even involve myself in politics. My mom was telling me about her trip to the whatever, the caucus. I called it the primary. And she was like, the primary? You fool. I can't even believe you're my son. She didn't say that, but that's what she was thinking. That's what was implied by the way she was like, the what? I could tell she was not impressed with my lack of knowledge of what things are called when you vote for stuff. The best part was she was, you know, real excited because there was a part where they were voting on something to do with marijuana. And she was like, so you have to like go. I mean, it's like fucking student council. You have to go and someone has to raise their hand and be like, yes, I'm in favor. And someone has to be like, I second. And she was like, it was great because there were some young people there. And I guess this marijuana thing came up and like it had been pretty subdued and quiet. And all of a sudden, this young dude on the marijuana one was like, I do it. And this other young dude next to him was just like, I second immediately. And everyone laughed. So I was like, all right, this is cool. That sounds fun. Not fun enough to actually go or participate in a political process, but funny. All right, let's get a new number, shall we? Oh, you could follow this site on Twitter at random.org. Great. Ooh, episode 14. Now that's going way back. Started way back in history. The Getting to Know You show, Volleyball Lies, dedicated to JB, who has the heart of a lumberjack bear. Five people liked this. Did people Facebook like this show? Is that something you can even still do? I'm going to skip towards the end here. This is a long one. Hour and 24 minutes? Jesus fucking Christ. What was I thinking? How can you even do that? Who has the energy?
Good movies. Almost definitely.
I mean, the background
it's
music.
Alan.
I felt so much more peppy.
And sister.
And I take second place. Yes.
So we've got Ian with James in first place.
It goes by age.
Birth order, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's
that worked
does.
Out nicely.
A little here. Yeah. See what we were
Good
doing.
Job. You got. That involves using kung fu.
Hmm.
A lot of kung fu movies, too. Girl.
Damn it!
Okay. Alan, are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Born
this
ready.
Is, now, this is tie it up. A classic overplayed. Here we go. Every romantic comedy. One man.
One man, a girl that's out of his league.
Bill
He's
is
gonna
a guy.
Try to get her. He has a crazy plan.
Jenny is a reporter who's too focused on her career. But when they come together, it's going to be...
There's going to be a rainstorm and they'll make out.
An epic disaster. And that's the title. It's going to be all about Steve.
Yeah. He's marrying this other girl, but she wants him and they're best friends.
All about
Rated R, male nudity.
All about Steve. So, one of my recent work victories was I made this, you know, internal newsletter for our summer reading program because that was just, that was a thing we decided was necessary. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. So, you know, I put some funny shit in there. But the best thing I did was put in a crossword puzzle because I was like, every crappy newsletter that's two-sided copy on a 8.5 by 11 needs a crossword, right? And there were like three words that crossed. And, you know, it was like 2000 and whatever Sandra Bullock vehicle blank about Steve was the first clue. Then the second clue was... 2000 and blank Jordan Morris vehicle, all blank Steve. And then the third clue was 2000 whatever Bradley Cooper vehicle, all about blank. And so the title is All About Steve. All About Steve is in all the clues. And then it's just those three words, All About Steve, that crossed. This is one of the best things that I've done with my career to this juncture, to this point, you know. This is something that I'm very proud of and feel a sense of swollen pride. I like when they're like, oh, I felt my pride swelling. And you're like, wiener then? We're talking about a wiener. Seems like we're talking about a wiener, right? All right, we've got episode 35. This is taking me back. I'm gonna tell you guys something. I've been skipping some because if it's like episode, you know, 250, that's like 2 months ago, right? I can't do that. This search is very, very difficult to use. I apologize for my own website. You know, how does radio episode 35 bring up reviews of Model Land and whatnot? Well, I don't seem to be getting it here. We might have to try a different number. Sometimes I didn't number them as well, and therefore we're fucked. So how are you guys doing? I was leaving work tonight. So part of what I have to... Oh, God. California Dreamin' is the title, and it's got a snowman with a crazy scraggly hair and beard. So I was leaving work, and part of my job is to lock up at night, and then here's what I do. Okay, I lock the doors even if there's people inside, because that keeps other people from coming in. And then I check the bathrooms while I'm waiting for people to slowly make their way through the lobby, and then, you know, I open the door and let them out, because both doors lock. So I hold the door open so that people can know which door they're supposed to go through and get out. And tonight, there was one person left in, you know, so I locked the doors and I checked the bathroom. And I checked one bathroom and then she was coming, walking fast. So I was like, oh, okay. So I went real quick, opened the door, and I held it open. But she was so fast that she was kind of already behind me when I pushed the door open. So instead of, you know, the normal where you like turn around and face the person as they're walking through the door, I was just facing the door, which was weird. And then I felt her kind of brush against my butt. And, you know, I just figured it was probably her bag or whatever, because it didn't feel like a butt touch. It just felt like a some part of my body brushed against your body. And I wouldn't have thought anything of it Except then as she's walking past, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to touch your butt. And I was just like, that apology for it made it so much more uncomfortable. I mean, there's no part of me that doesn't believe her. But God damn it. Do you have to say it specifically? Do you have to say, oh, I'm sorry, I touched your butt? Is that really what you need to do? Couldn't you just, when you brush past someone and touch their butt, I feel like unless it's like a big butt touch, or you know what, look back and see if the person is making a face like, what the fuck? But you know, I was partially to blame. I wonder if I'd been facing the correct way, if she touched my groin, if she would have been like, I'm sorry I touched your wiener. Or, you know, the area where I assume your wiener is. I didn't feel the wiener, but I felt that I touched the area where the wiener probably is. I wonder if I would have got that apology that I had coming to me. That sounded dirty, and it wasn't meant to be. It just happened, okay? Not my fault. Not everything's my fault, you guys. This is something I'm learning. Okay, episode 194. Let's just get a little bit into it here. 337, sure.
Oh, and I'm part of a vacuum to a stick, which doesn't make the vacuum suction part of the vacuum. It's just a stick. And you just sort of roll it over the carpet. Oh. Maybe it picks stuff up, maybe not. It won't make anything dirtier. And you say, that's what I'm looking for. Just a task. Just a simple task to really give someone value to their life. It seems easy, too, because I don't know a lot about science. But it seems to me that if on every 10th flight, you just had those oxygen masks come down, you crack a window, all the garbage is going to get sucked right out the window. I mean, every time I sit down now, there's bottles or like a Cheetos bag or whatever. And by the way, none of it's airline themed. If I at least thought that it was, you know, purchased on the airplane. There's not a McDonald's on this airplane, is there? Because there's a lot of McDonald's leftover stuff in the seat pocket. Are they ever cleaning the seat pocket? If they don't clean a Cheetos bag that's just jammed between the two seats, what are the odds they're cleaning the back seat, the pocket there? And how come there's no fucking garbage can on the plane? I was talking to somebody about this, and she was like, yeah, how come when they're going up and down the aisle, they just always have a garbage bag?
This is a good question. I hadn't considered since. Do you know, you remember, there used to be, back in the day, when you could smoke on the plane, the armrest had a little ashtray in it, the kind you flipped open, and it was like, click, 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 click. And, you know, that was something that as a kid, you're like, well, I guess I'll play with this for fucking 20 minutes, just clicking it and probably making someone in another seat go fucking crazy. And I remember that seemed like a good place to stuff garbage. Cars used to have these too, and basically every car was like, okay, here's how you know if you have kids. No kids, backseat ashtrays totally clean. Yes, kids, wad of gum stuffed into the ashtray, covered in like sticky, dirty hair. And it's kind of like the gum has solidified, but also still kind of looks like it might be sticky. Like you don't want to risk touching it. You cannot tell. It's at a stage where you can't tell if it's still sticky or if it's solidified and sort of has a sheen to it, right? It's impossible to say. That's what ashtrays went to. I like how cars were like, we're not going to do ashtrays anymore. So what we're going to do instead is people just throw their cigarettes all over the fucking road. That was a good thing. That was a good decision we made. All right, what do we have? Episode 210, December 19th, 2014. I have a picture of, I remember this. This was a Santa, there's a Santa Claus app. It's a game, and you have like dentist tools. And so you're looking at his mouth. It's all fucked up. He's got a bunch of yellow teeth. He's got a bunch of plaque. He's got some black teeth. And you had to use these different tools and like pull his teeth and stuff like that. That's what kids want to do, right? Is fuck up Santa's mouth. Let's see what I was doing about 29 minutes in.
That's how you play this game. He's wearing buttless pants, so when you're climbing a rope, you can see that. And he's wearing little short shorts.
and he kills a Nazi with his dick. I don't even know what that was, and it doesn't matter. You know what? We're leaving this episode right now because whatever that was, it was beautiful, and it was as it was meant to be with that. He kills a Nazi with his dick. That's all you need to know. What else do you want to know? Let's see. Helpful Snowman Radio, episode 181, April 16, 2014. A lot of these seem to be in May and April for some reason. Let's skip about 31 minutes in. See what I was
doing. Except, then of course I start overthinking it.
This sounds nice.
Because I also think, well, do I want to be the kind of guy who, like, knows the terminology? I still order a medium coffee when I go in there. Well, I don't know why. It doesn't piss me off, honestly. I know everyone will say, oh my God.
Okay, this is about a Starbucks thing, clearly. I had a Starbucks thing. This wasn't just me. Poon Master Flex was there and kind of initiated this, so I'm glad she said it. So we're waiting in the line, and it's taken forever because somebody else is in line in front of us, which is fine, except it's like a fellow employee, and they seem to be really chatting it up, right? And you're like, hey, come on. I know you're off the clock, but like, let's get out of line in a reasonable fashion. And it took so long that a third employee got involved and jumped on the other register and was like, let me take your orders while these two fuck around. Now, this person who is ordering, here's the thing. Here's what I've decided, because apparently this is what's true, right? You can make fun of somebody as long as they are a bad person. And so I've decided this is a bad person because they're not very courteous and not very good at representing their workplace. And therefore, I'm going to sort of make fun of them for being fat. Hear me out. We were talking about how basically suspenders, not a good look for a fat lady. It just doesn't look very, I don't know a lot about how to dress when you're fat, but I think something you don't want is tight straps that are like crisscrossing your body, right? I don't think you want something pushing the flab into X's, in multiple spots, you know, like, oh yeah, I'll have a little triangle that's pushing out of my butt crack. I'll have one in my upper back. This kind of really cuts off and delineates the different cutlets that are in my back. And then in the front, it just looks crazy. I think the only people who should be fat and wearing suspenders are like old evil politicians, right? Because they're just like, whatever. What do they care? I mean, they're just getting blowjobs from whores in Saigon who don't even know, who have no life. What do you care about fashion when that's your life, right? But I don't know. It's not a good look, okay? I don't know if that's making fun of somebody so much as saying like, not your best option, all right? And you have a lot of options. There are a lot of ways to not do that. So instead of doing that, I would suggest not doing it. Okay, Helpful Snowman, that's a hot take on suspenders, huh? Helpful Snowman Radio, episode 65. This is a power hour. We did two shows that week. This is an hour and 25 minutes long. I was a machine once upon a time. Now I'm just an old shell of a piece of shit.
Guy, that would be pretty fitting for me. I think that's going to work. Dear Snowman, can you eat cactus? I heard that you had to boil them and etc., but how do we eat them? Are we supposed to peel the skin out first? O2
Man,
first?
Listen to my, I had this thing drilled into my mouth and continued doing this even though I was like, dear snowman, suppose you have a cactus drilled into your mouth. I do the worst impressions, by the way. You know what I'm not good at? Accents. I'm not good at, you know, someone's like, do a British accent. And I'm like, anything off the trolley, dear. And that's all I got. Australian, I got nothing. Aye. Oi. That's it. You know, because I'm TNT. Oi. 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 That's all. That's it. Australia, CDC. That's the best I know of ACDC. Of Australia.
I don't even know where I am anymore. What are we doing? All right, let's go to 228. Episode 228, more roadies. Oh, that's a nice picture of a bumper covered in bugs. Ooh, it's a very large image, too. I think this is one of my, let's see, this was May 7th, 2015, so this isn't even a year ago. I think this is one of my many trips to Grand Junction I've made over the years for various things. Let's see what we get here about 12 minutes in.
I think that in our case, and our person's not a marketer, by the way, so I'm not even talking about my company with that because they specifically said they are not marketers. However, I think that's a violation of someone's privacy. That's us giving an email.
Oh, God. That sounds so boring. I can't even listen to that anymore. What an idiot. Don't listen to episode 228 because that sounds like a bunch of horse shit. Instead, listen to episode 94. Because episode 94, according to some research that I'm doing right now, is power squared. The power continues. I guess it's probably a power hour. Let's see. There's some 8-bit chiptune going on. That was something I enjoyed a lot of.
This is going to be a real professional opening. Right. Like Mexicans. And often talked about how she didn't like them and why. So, I think if you are that race, you can not like your own race. I think that's, for some reason, okay. However, if you aren't that race, I think it's not allowed for some reason. So stick to hating on your own race. You'll have the inside info anyway. It'll be a lot easier. It's much more rewarding in the long run, which is what we're in here for. The race is a run, and it's a long one.
I like that. I like my own premise of like, hey, you know what? Make fun of your own race. And it's like, not because it's proper or because people won't give you shit, because I'm like, well, you'll have all this good insider info on why your race is horrible. So that's why if you're white, you can make fun of whites really well because you know all the, you know, stupid shit that white people do. And if you're black, same thing applies, right? Not because I'm like, oh, because people will allow it, but because it's like, you'll probably know some weird racist things that are true or you'll have some insight into the race that really allows you to hurt people. That's what we're all about here, is hurting people as badly as possible. Ooh, episode 7. Wow. Let's see if that even happens. Epiode. Good. Good. Glad that I can type. I'm glad that I can help everybody. Pete versus Model Land. Hey, buy that. Buy some stuff online, you guys. Episode 77. Here we go. Middle Eastern politics take center stage. I can't even imagine. Sometimes the descriptions for these, I can't even wrap my mind around what I meant for people to get out of it, let alone what I meant in the description. See, we're skipping to about 44 minutes and 30 seconds.
I thought was a pretty... I'm doing it a little more emotionally right now because I'm pretty upset. But at the time, I think, I was kind of like, hi, my name is Peter and my last name. I'm a librarian. I'm trying to get tax forms, which we stock at our building, but I'm all out and I cannot seem to get through to anybody.
And then you got annoyed duck.
What?
Right.
So then, completely re-explain again, and she says, we're having tax forms at the library now? Which, as long as I've been alive, has been a thing.
I don't understand. Like, where do you think she got her tax form? I guess she works for the state, so she just probably has
this
a tax
bitch
form.
Works at the walk-in help center.
Okay.
How is she going to help? She doesn't even know. If you walked in and said, could I get forms at the library? She would say, what? She wouldn't help you at all.
So this
Aflac.
Is like, this is a duck, like on an episode of The Simpsons. This is Stuart helping you.
Yeah, it's some piece of shit who has no idea.
Right.
So she says, well, I'll transfer you to someone. So I get transferred.
You get transferred to the duck who's like carrying the wagon around with all the tax forms in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I leave a message. Of course, it goes nowhere. So I say, all right, fuck this noise. So then I get on the Colorado State Treasurer's website.
Okay.
I find send us an email thing.
Right.
Write a long,
okay, let me tell
diatribe.
You what's depressing about this right now.
why this is, you know, an impassioned tale at this time. And now I'm like, oh, God, my life. This is April 1st, 2011. This is approximately 5 years ago. Still having the same struggles. You know, tax season rolls around. They don't show up. You have to call a fucking place. I spent probably 2 hours hitting redial on my phone. And then I pushed the appropriate numbers. And you have to just guess. Because you're like, okay, you get these menus. And you're like, all right, here's what I need to do. I need to talk to someone to be like, hey, I work at this library. We need to order tax forms because we put them out for people. And that's a thing. And the menus are all like, if you want to ask about your refund, push 1. If this is a personal tax matter, push 2. If you own a business, push 3. If you have, you know, earned income credit, push 4. You know, and none of these things are like, if you're a tax form outlet, push 5. Or, you know, it's like, to receive individual forms, push this. And you're like, I guess it's not individual. I don't know. And you basically just have to guess and check, you know. And what happens is sometimes you'll go through the phone tree. And here's how the phone tree works, too. At some point, you get to a place where it's like, in order to fulfill that request, please go to irs.gov. Thanks for calling. And then it just hangs up and you're like, God damn it. Or sometimes, you know, eventually I figured out the code and I wrote it down, right? So that I could basically dial the number and then push like, you know, 151 or whatever and get through the menus to where I needed to be on hold to talk to somebody. So then it would ring and then it would be like, due to the high volume of calls, please wait for whatever. And then it might wait a little longer. And then usually it would go, due to the high volume of calls, we can't take your call right now. Please call back again another time. So what this government agency does is, and then it hangs up on you. It's like, click. So what they're doing is they're like, all right, you need to call us to do this thing. You have to do your taxes. However, when you call us for help, any time of the day, basically, you'll have to spend 2 hours at just random times of the day calling to get through to somebody. I guarantee you that's what will happen. So you're trying to do it, and eventually you'll get through to somebody. But if you don't get through to somebody, we're like, we have so many calls right now that rather than have people on hold, we're just dropping the calls. You just call us back later. Can you fucking imagine? Like, what kind of world is that? They're still living in, like, the 1980s before, like, answering machines or voicemail or something where you call and it's like, hey, if they don't pick up the phone right then, you're fucked. You just have to call back later. Which would be kind of great for, like, friends, to be honest, because I hate that it's like someone will just send you a text and then you're like, ugh, now I'm responsible for communicating. That sucks. I would prefer that it was like, I don't know, if they really want me to know whatever they're doing, then now I'll just have to know. Not a lot of probably back then that whole like, hey, what are you doing? You want to do this? All right, let's see. Episode 132. Episode. Oh, by the way, it's St. Patrick's Day. Go fuck yourself. Flight. Hillbillies love the national anthem. A real saucy waitress named Ashley. I can already tell you what happened. I read the national anthem as they did in the Demolition Derby, where they give you way too many instructions. And we went to this barbecue place. Like, this is still burned into my brain. You know how there's those things that we joke about, like, I'm going to be on my deathbed mumbling about this, and everyone's going to be like, he's demented, don't listen. But it's like, where did that come from? Mine's going to be about when we went to a barbecue place, and the waitress wrote her name in sauce on a plate and then, like, left us with this plate. Where she, in cursive, with a sauce, a barbecue sauce bottle with a, you know, nozzle on it, spelled out her name in sauce. And I was, like, desperate to know if other... Were we the only table where this was happening? Is Ashley the only one who does this? Is it because, like, too many people were spelling her name with no E-Y, just a Y or something? Like, who cares? I don't want to be a dick, but I don't really care what the waiter or waitress's name is that much.
I mean, I'm not addressing, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, hey, Ashley, do you think we could get our thing? Like, do they want that? I don't think they want that, right? I don't think they want to be called by name. I don't really like it when people look at my name tag and call me by name. It's fine when they say the whole, like, oh, your name's Peter? Okay, cool. But I don't really like it when they're like, hi, Peter, I have this problem. And you're like, okay, what's your name? I mean, are we just introducing ourselves? I'm just introducing myself to you via name tag. You just be me. I wanted to tell you guys about, I was reading, so long, long ago, I came upon this idea to read all of the Spider-Man comics, The Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, reading all the Spider-Man comics is impossible, but there's basically, I think, 700 issues of Amazing Spider-Man, and then it kind of goes into volume two. And I was like, that's a surmountable goal because I've already read a couple hundred, right? So I started at the beginning and I've read up to 120 right now. 121, The Death of Gwen Stacy is next. However, a couple issues before, there was this great little thing that happened because there was this like villain, right? And this villain is called The Disruptor, which is a really fucking stupid name. But the beauty of it is that he forces this science guy, right, to make him a Superman android slash human thing that can just destroy shit. And, you know, so he forces this scientist, this lowly comic book scientist, who they're just like, I don't know, I just find these comic book scientists who do the impossible, they make me a super suit or some kind of monster to kill people. And then I treat the scientist like shit, like total dog shit, right? So the scientist makes this giant thing called the Smasher, and the Disruptor gets back and he's like, ah, I see you finished the Smasher. And the scientist is like, yeah, I'm totally done. And he's like, excellent. Then he grabs the scientist by his lab coat. And he's like, give me the handheld control unit now. And the scientist is just so like, yeah, dude, here, take it. It's fine. And then the Disruptor's like, good, now this is going to be perfect because I'm in charge instead of you, dummy. And the scientist is like, all right, cool. But listen, let me tell you how the remote works because, you know, this is a giant biological abomination that I've created. I've basically defied every rule of science and also God. Can I please tell you how it works? And he's like, silence, imbecile. I'm the Disruptor. I know how to work everything, okay? Don't be a fucking idiot. So he takes the remote and he's just like, he literally says, shut up, you sniveling fool. The Disruptor waits for nothing. Not now when I'm so very close. And so he's like, activate all circuits now. And it's just like, full power now. It's exactly like the part in Spaceballs where he's just like, you know, light speed, go. And they're just like, all right, go. And then he goes flying back and he's like, oh, okay. So then the Smasher, the Mechano Man or whatever, wakes up and just starts destroying everything, right? Immediately is like, grrr, destroying shit. The Disruptor is like, oh my God, science guy, what do I do right now? Tell me. And the science guy's like, hit the nullifying button, tap it twice. And then, you know, the Smasher smashes a bunch of shit. But, you know, he's in the middle of smashing a thing, and the Disruptor hits the button and is like, I did it. It's working. He's beginning to slow down, you know, because he's like, look what I did with my genius. And then he finally shuts down, and the Disruptor is like, I'll need more time to practice with this new control unit. Meanwhile, Smasher, remain motionless, you brainless behemoth. Raise your hand against me again and I'll destroy you on the spot. So speaks the Disruptor. So let me just quickly run through what happened here. We have this guy who hired a scientist to build a monster. Scientist builds the monster to the specifications, something that the Disruptor, I assume, does not have the skills or abilities or knowledge to do. And then the Disruptor is like, give me the remote, you imbecile. And the guy is like, oh, yeah, here. I mean, do you want me to tell you how it works? And he's like, silence. Turns the thing up full blast. The thing immediately starts destroying stuff. He panics, is like, what do I do? The guy tells him, hit this button twice to deactivate.
he does it, and he's like, I'm brilliant. And then the guy finally shuts down, and when he's totally shut down, that's when the disruptor is like, see, that's what you get for fucking with me. Maybe you'll think twice next time, asshole. And you're like, okay, here's what I just saw. A scientist made this guy. You ignored his advice completely to your own peril. This guy smashed up your entire lab, and then you're like, see what happens if you fuck with me? I'll let you smash up a small portion of my lab, but not all of it, my secret lair. So says the disruptor. Ultimate asshole. But get this. So at the end of this issue, it turns out the disruptor, there's this politician running for office, and the disruptor keeps trying to kill this guy. Well, it turns out the disruptor is the politician, and he was basically drumming up his own controversies and shit by having this bad guy come after him. But, you know, his whole thing is about how his stance is real tough on organized crime, right? And everyone's like, oh, the mob is trying to kill this guy. And then it turns out he was, and he really rallies people against organized crime and all this shit. But then it turns out, so Spider-Man fights him, he gets crushed, and Spider-Man finds his body and he's dead. And he takes his mask off and he's like, oh my God, the disruptor and the politician were the same man. So here's what he does. He takes the disruptor's costume, he burns it, and leaves the guy's body there. So everyone's like, oh, the mob got this politician. You know, it wasn't, he was a good man and he paid the price, right? And now people will rally around his death. And I was like, wait a second. This is the exact fucking ending from The Dark Knight with the Two-Face. And they're like, oh, we'll just hide it that Harvey Dent did all this stuff and blame Batman. Therefore, everyone will be like, yeah, we can still rally around Harvey Dent. I was like, holy shit. Holy shit. This is the exact, I mean, down to the, like, people need a symbol to rally around more than they need to, you know that this guy was the disruptor. And I was like, oh my God. Somebody might have cheated. That's all I'm saying. Spider-Man is the best. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Well, that's our show. I hope you enjoyed this blast from the past. I don't know. Seemed all right. Seemed like it's a little depressing. Seemed like I used to care, and now I'm just phoning it in. Right? So expect it. While we're on that note, just a quick couple things. Pete's exhaustive review of the 50 Shades trilogy is up on Kickstarter. And, so the price tag on that one's $250, because here's the thing. I did $100 for Modeland, and it was not worth it on so many levels. Because when you think about, like, all right, how long does it take to read that book? It's like a few hours. But then how long does it take to write, like, 50,000 words on that? Several hours more. And basically, I'll just, you know, I'll throw the cover off my fabulous lifestyle, right? I write these Lit Reactor columns. They pay me $25 per, and I probably spend a good 2 hours on each one. So I figure, like, all right, $25, 2 hours. So if at that rate, Model Land should have taken me like 8 hours, right? It was way more than 8 hours. And 50 Shades Trilogy is more than three times as long. And so therefore, $250 is a lot cheaper than I did Monoland, if you go by page and probably the time required. But here's the other thing. When I look at a Kickstarter, sometimes I'm like, I don't want to pay this asshole $250, right? But being on the other side of it, here's what I want to say. You're not paying me $250. You can pay me $5. Do you think it's worth $5 to you personally? Then just pay me $5. That's all you have to do. So support that project. I hope you've gotten your t-shirts. We had a winner who first tweeted about the shirts, but goddamn it, when you get your t-shirt, tweet about it. Also, if you want to help out the show and you want to help out whatever, me, the two things you can do, three things. One, review this show on iTunes. Give it a 5-star review, write a review. Number two, buy a Kindle book. Okay, just look at my name on the Kindle store.
You'll find them there. And number three was something important.
Fuck.
There was an important thing that you could do to help me. Oh, I remember. Go to a lit reactor column I wrote and hit a like or a share or a something button on it, right? Do that. Share it on your Facebook, share it on your Twitter, and preferably do it by hitting that like or share button on the page, because that helps. That helps me a lot. Those are the things you can do. Most of them are free or cost a dollar. So just do it. Oh, that's the other thing you could do. Review a Kindle book on Amazon or Goodreads. I don't even care if you read it. Just review it. I don't care if you give it a 5-star review. Give it an interesting review. If you're going to give it a 1-star review, you know, rip me to pieces. Rip my ass to pieces. But do those things, all right? Oh, quick PS. Pete's Unsent Love Letters have been fully edited, and I rearranged them to be in a more chronological order. And the manuscript is done. And so far, I've sent it out to, I think, 6 different agents that I found by looking up books that I like or that are similar and sending it to those people. So that's where we're at with that. You know, I have plans to send it out to about 10. And they take 6 to 8 weeks, so I guess by the summer, if I don't hear back or it's all in the negative, then we'll see where we're going from there. So that's a thing that's happening. Hooray. All right. See you guys next time.